Thursday edition, Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Drove with you back at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue, beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio will join us momentarily from here as well. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in beautiful downtown Madison, where I was on Monday. It was a great day in Madison, but good to be back here. In Milwaukee, lots to get into today. Green Bay Packers reaction rolls on as they top the Houston Texans over the weekend. Packers now 5-2. They will head to Jacksonville this weekend to take on the Jags. We've had this discussion before, Hunter, but and we'll talk with our buddy Colin Russo, a longtime friend of the program, now living down in Florida, huge Jacksonville fan. How do you say, I saw Wilde and Tausch had this conversation today. How do you say, is it Jaguars or Jaguars?
I thought it was Jaguars. You literally produce a show with someone that played for the team. So I don't know how you don't have this down.
But I haven't seen him yet today. I've definitely asked him before, and I don't remember what the answer is. I think it's Jaguars. I think you're right, but we'll figure that out by Friday. But the Packers get ready to take on the Jaguars or the Jaguars this weekend. Go ahead.
Do you think Brad's going to get annoyed with you when you ask him? Because you've probably asked him 5 or 6 times, knowing you.
No, you're probably right. I mean, theoretically, I could give him a call right now. But I'm not going to do that.
I'll put it on speaker.
I'll call him during a commercial break and get the answer for you. I just don't want to blindside him, and I don't know what he's up to right now. So anyway, so the Jaguars or the Jaguars, whatever you prefer. Packers getting ready to go to Jacksonville and play them. Now, that's a really interesting game because they stink and the Packers clearly do not. I don't know that I'm a firm believer in trap games, but clearly they exist. It's more to the point of any given Sunday in the NFL, right? Like, anybody can win any game. So the Packers should win, right? It's the case we made against it's the case we made against the Rams and the Cardinals, and we'll make again this week. If you are the team we think you are, which for the Packers, and we'll get into it in a second, is a top 5 team in the NFL, you should handle business, right? You should go down to Jacksonville, business trip, take care of business, boom, shakalaka, game over, right? I mean, that's the way you should view it. You're 6-2, get ready for Detroit. But it's still NFL players playing NFL players. I'm not nervous. That's not the right word. I'm not worried about the Packers, you know, not playing their best football. But it's just one you can't look past because you've got a really big one coming up at Lambeau Field next week. And that's the part I'm hooked on, is next week. When you return home, you play Detroit, likely a kind of a first place NFL or NFC North matchup to a point, depending on what happens with the Vikings this week. It's a big one. You just can't overlook this one. So Packers play the Jags. Bucks tip off their season tonight. I caught up with head coach Doc Rivers a few weeks ago. We will have 5 good minutes with Doc Rivers coming up later in the show, as well as just a quick conversation. What are the expectations for the Bucks this year? I was watching the Celtics drop 29 threes last night, which tied an NBA record set by the Bucks a couple years ago. They're not going away anytime soon. The Knicks didn't look great, but they're clearly a pretty good team. The team the Bucks play tonight, the Philadelphia 76ers, are certainly going to give them a run in the Eastern Conference. What are the expectations for the Bucks? We'll dive into that in a bit. But let's start here. Power rankings aren't everything, but they are at least something, right? They give you an indication of where your team is at, given where you are in the season. So we are now through 7 weeks in the NFL season. The Packers are 5-2, getting their first signature win last week against the Houston Texans. And it was a big win, right? I mean, the way in which they won, like we highlighted the week prior against the Cardinals, is important to acknowledge, right? The Packers did not play well on Sunday. In fact, I would argue they played bad for the most part. Defense was good. But special teams, when it came to the punt returns, was grotesque, right? 3 bad punt returns. When you look at Jordan Love, 2 more interceptions, not terribly efficient, but he still played a pretty good game. Jaden Reed wasn't very good. Running game wasn't great. Like, it just never felt like, it didn't feel like the complete 60 minutes we saw them play the week prior against Arizona. But a win is a win, and you're never going to apologize for a win in the NFL, especially when it's against a really good team like Houston is. So 7 weeks in, ESPN NFL's power rankings came out yesterday. The Packers are listed as team number 5 in the power rankings. Not bad. Only NFC team in front of them is their opponent in 2 weeks, and that would be the Detroit Lions. Minnesota Vikings come in at 6. Those are your top three NFC teams, according to ESPN's power rankings. Lions, Packers, Vikings, all in the NFC North. I think I'm ready to say, look, because it's no secret what I think about the Packers. I believe they're a Super Bowl contender. I believe they are one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFC. And they will certainly be in contention come the end of January. But through 7 weeks, are we firm believers that they are playing like one of the top five teams in the NFL? I mean, you look at Baltimore, the way they're playing, outstanding. You look at Kansas City, the way they're playing, outstanding, undefeated. And they're making more moves today, which we'll get to in one word. This is a team that clearly has the potential of a top five, if not top three, team in the NFL. Are we comfortable putting them in that top five category? Is the question I want to pose today. The answer for me is yes, but it could be a little fluid over the course of the next few weeks. Could they move back to team 7 or 8? Yeah. Could they move up to team 3 or 4? Yeah. But does that give you a firm indication of what they will be at the end of December and come playoffs in January? No. Right? I mean, you think back to last year. At this time last year, we were talking about a 2-5 football team. Packers were 2-5. They are now 5-2. They flipped that record. But we were talking about a 2-5 football team, and we were asking serious questions about whether or not Jordan Love is really the quarterback of the future. We were asking legitimate questions about Matt LaFleur as a play caller and some of the design he was setting up. And we were asking serious questions about Brian Gutekunst and his ability to draft and develop and draft and have immediate impacts, which ultimately a lot of those guys did in the second half of the season. So that said, we can acknowledge that from 1 year ago to now, you were in a terrific might be an understatement, a terrific situation in comparison, because this is a 5-2 team with real expectations, unlike last year was a 2-5 team with no expectations. But when you enter this year, you thought, yeah, I mean, this is a team that should be competing for the NFC North, should be competing for an NFC title, and it seems like they're going to fit that role. The defense still, I believe in Jeff Hafley. I believe he's the coordinator of the future and probably a future head coach in the NFL. Not for a couple of years, hopefully. The defense, the part of the defense that concerns me is A, player execution, and B, can they stop the run? Right, the elite running backs they've played this year have torn them up. You think back to Saquon in week one. Joe Mixon had a really nice game last week. He was the only part of the Texans' offense that wasn't completely inept, but he had a really good week. So that's still a concern for me. Can they get pass rush? Now, I know you held C.J. Stroud to 86 yards passing or 84, whatever it was, less than 50% completion percentage. You're very happy with those statistics and that outcome. A, I mean, that's just not, it's not going to happen consistently. It's impossible to do in the NFL week after week. Can you stop the run? Can you get to the passer? Can you put some pressure on the opposing quarterback? Those are the two big questions for me still, seven weeks into the season. Now, I thought last week was a good sign of growth and development and comfortability in the Jeff Hafley defense. But is that what it's going to look like against the best offensive line in the league in 2 weeks against the Detroit Lions? I don't know. So the defense, I believe in the coordinator. I don't know if I believe in all the players yet. Offensively, when it comes specifically to Jordan Love, I really don't have an issue with how he's played. And we talked about this a bit on Monday. He leads the league in interception, or tied for the league-leading interceptions with 8 with Patrick Mahomes and Gardner Minshew. But he also leads the league or is very close to the league lead in touchdown passes. So if you're winning games and he throws a couple interceptions a game, hopefully just one, and you know a couple of those haven't been his fault, you'll take that. I just need that decision-making to kick up a notch to where he was at last year. Right. I mean, when you saw the throws he was making down the stretch at the end of the regular season when they had to win games to get in, and then that game against Dallas, I thought the decision-making was so good. And we've seen moments and flashes, several flashes of that this year, and he's made some unbelievable throws this year. But he's also taken some unbelievable risks. Some have paid off, some have been interceptions. Can he get to the efficiency level? And I'm not asking him to be Aaron Rodgers efficient, because I almost think that broke the Packers back a few times. But can he get to a level of efficiency and decision-making and comfortability like he did in the second half of last season, where this offense is just frankly unstoppable? That we have yet to see. But when you compare last year to this year, when that team was 2-5 to this year's team, which is 5-2, you're taking it every day of the week. So yes, right now I'm comfortable calling them a top five team in the NFL, but it's very close. And you know, the thing that really bothered me from this, and not that we should overreact to ESPN.com's power rankings too much, but the thing that really bothered me from this was the response of the fact that the Vikings were 6, the Packers were 5, and obviously the Vikings beat the Packers pretty bad, despite it only being a two-point game earlier this year. I think when you go through it, though, you believe in the Packers more. You believe in most of their personnel and coaching staff and players more, right? You might believe in the wide receiving core and the defensive coordinator more in Minnesota than Green Bay. But other than that, you feel better about everything the Packers are doing, right? Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell, give me Matt LaFleur. Jordan Love or Sam Darnold, give me Jordan Love. Defensively, you know, the coordinators are probably picking Brian Flores. But when it comes to sustainability and staying above 500 and staying in the race for the NFC North, you feel more comfortable in the Packers. And, you know, obviously the Vikings have some really nice wins on their resume, right? They're the other loss on the Texans' schedule. They beat the 49ers. They obviously have beaten the Packers. So they have some really nice wins under their belt. But is it sustainable? I think you've already been proven by the Packers last year down the stretch, second half of last year. Yes, it is sustainable. Yes, you know, they are that good. With the Vikings, it's more, yeah, good start. Can they continue to do it? So, yes, right now, as it stands, entering week 8, the Packers do belong above the Vikings, but they are very close, and obviously the Vikings have the win to hold over their headhunter.
You know, looking at the, like, full league standings, I get Minnesota and Chicago. You have the ability, if you're talking about ranking all of the teams for head-to-head matchups, to actually know where the Packers stack up compared to them. But like a team like the Commanders, if they keep doing what they're doing and they run through the NFC East, is there anything in your mind taking out the fandom of you being a Packers fan that you would say, yeah, the Commanders are better than Green Bay?
No, but no, the answer flat out is no, right? The Commanders aren't very good. Oh, they're good. They have a fun offense. But Jaden Daniels is hurt. Like, they're going to lose to the Bears this weekend. Would you agree with that? I'll take the Bears, even if Jaden Daniels is healthy. I think I'm picking the Bears over the Commanders.
Yeah, I just, rookie quarterback, like, Dan Quinn is a good defensive coach. So, like, he could confuse him and just make him struggle. And then, like, it just turns into a slog that Mariota does enough to just figure out a way to win. So that's the only reason I hesitate. But, yeah, the Bears should beat them. But if they don't, like, I think then you start thinking about the Commanders as actually being a legitimate team. And I think they're kind of a sneaky team that could be dynamic enough to, in the playoffs, even give Green Bay some trouble. And, like, that'd be the one team in the NFC that I actually feel like might be the worst matchup for the Packers. Just given that, like, I think we know what Detroit is. Like, we've seen it enough. We know. Same thing with Minnesota. Like, you know what to expect. Washington.
Do you?
But, like, you're going to have seen them play the Packers twice. So, you know the way that they're going to attack the Packers is what I mean. You know what they're going to try and do.
The issue I have with that game, and this is why, you know, because I think if you and I said together, I think we would agree on this. If tomorrow the Vikings and Packers played at Lambeau Field, you're picking the Packers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because when you think about that, what was that, week 4 game? I think it was week 4. Yeah, it was week 4. That week 4 game between the Packers and the Vikings, the Packers were without Carrington Valentine and Jair Alexander defensively. Jordan Love was coming back from the knee injury. It was his first game back, so he had to knock the rust off. You know, there were several, I'm not making excuses, right? They lost the game. The Vikings smoked them, right? The two-point loss, I think it was 31-29. The two-point loss is not indicative of how much of an ass-kicking that game was. It was 28-0. I just think, you know, you trust the Packers. So when it comes to the Vikings, yes, I know what they're capable of through 7 weeks, but I don't know what they're going to throw at the Packers next time out, right? I don't know if game to game they have the same philosophy and the same game plan. You know what they're capable of, right? Minimize mistakes from Sam Darnold, utilize the really good skill position players they have around them, and obviously TJ Hockenson going to get added back to the mix here in the next few weeks. Defensively, they have the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, and they're going to bring the pressure. They might blitz you. They might, you know, they've just got a really good defensive scheme in its base set. So overall, yes, you know what the Vikings are made of. You know their strong suits. You know why the record is what it is through 7 weeks, although none of us expected it. But give me the Packers. So anyway, continue your point. Sorry.
Well, no, I was just saying that, like, I feel like the Commanders, because if Jaden Daniels is healthy going late into the season, like, they could potentially see each other divisional round, something like that, and that could be the type of team that I think they do enough defensively, and they have enough players there that if Jordan Love does keep up this weird, like, gunslinger attitude that he's had this year, they could all of a sudden see themselves down a couple of scores early on in a playoff game, and then you're like, oh no, and that doesn't help them. Like, that's what concerns me about Jordan Love and the Packers, is if these interceptions keep happening, even though I don't think it hasn't hurt them yet, but if they do, it could get bad late in a game or put them behind early in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. You know, all in all, though, this division's so fun. I love that this is the conversation. You know, like, I feel bad for the Lions because they've been so bad for so long. And the 2 years they're good. Like, last year, they ran away with the division and made it to an NFC Championship game. But then year two, where it's like, yeah, Super Bowl or bust for the Lions. They've got to deal with a one loss, which they gave to them, Minnesota team, who is very much in the race. You've got to deal with a really good Green Bay team and won a playoff game a year ago, and it's probably only getting better. And Chicago's no slouch. But by all means, I would guess they'll take last place in the North, or maybe third place in the North if there's an astronomical fall off from the Vikings, which I am not ruling out. This is so fun. I love being the epicenter of good football. I love being in the mix of a really good division where three teams are likely vying for a playoff spot in the NFC, right? Seven teams get in, three wild cards get in, two of them could be from your division, if not all three of them. I don't think that will be the case just mathematically. It's hard to make sense. But it's so cool to me that the best division in football is the NFC North. I mentioned the power rankings at the top. The Vikings, Packers, and the Lions, Packers, and Vikings are the top three teams in the NFC teams in the power rankings. They're all top six teams, which is just awesome. It's cool to be a part of that. I believe Chiefs, Ravens, and Bills are the other three teams in the top six. So, no complaints for me. We kind of mentioned with Jay Love, Hunter described it as weird gunslinging, which I don't know if I'd call it weird. I think it's so damn fun. Now, he's to the point of when he's throwing the football, you might be holding your breath a little bit if it's going over 10 yards. He's, right? He's fitting it in to holes that are just unbelievable, Rodgers-esque and Favre-esque. And, you know, through five games played this season, he's turned the ball over more than you're used to, but also than you would like, right? Lead the league in interceptions. I don't really care that much because they're 5-2. If they had the same record they did a year ago, 2-5, yeah, we'd be crushing them for some of his decision making. But right now, it hasn't hurt them. You know, it's still winning you football games. He's throwing more touchdowns than he has interceptions. He's been, sure, a little gunslinger. He's taking risks. But this goes back to what I said on Monday's show. Packers fans, and myself included, you know, I had to come to this realization. We were so used to, for the last 15 years, the quarterback not turning the football over and not taking extreme risks. Aaron Rodgers didn't. And I don't want to say it lost them games or it lost them opportunities at a Super Bowl. But I think there were moments in Rodgers' career, especially in the 2010s, post-Super Bowl win, where you just wanted him to take more risks. You wanted him to have a little bit more Favre in him. And with Love, you've got a good mixture of both, but he's such his own unique quarterback. But he feels to me like such a good definition of what a Packers quarterback is, right? He's fun. He's loose. He has such a short memory. He throws an interception. He comes out here. He's going to take similar shots right away without hesitation, which is awesome. You know, that is a skill slash asset that you cannot teach. You can't teach the short memory. You can't teach the, hey, Love, you just threw an interception. I go out there and run the same play. You know, and that part about Jordan Love is so cool to me and what makes him such a joy to watch. So through five games, no, he hasn't been stellar. He hasn't been MVP-esque, but he's won football games. And I'm really having fun watching him. You know, I wouldn't give him an A+, but he is the reason they're in games. He is the reason they're winning games. And some of the stuff he does is just like, oh, how did they land another quarterback that just perfectly fits the Packers' identity, right? That just perfectly plays the quarterback position like a Packers quarterback would. That part is still bananas to me, that Goody nailed this draft pick the way he did. So, no crushing Jordan Love on my watch. Is he automatically eliminated from the MVP consideration if he only misses the two games? If he plays 15 games, like, does he still have a chance to win it? Let's say this team just goes on an unbelievable run, finishes 13-4. They only lose two more games. He would still be in consideration for the MVP, especially with the fact he's leading the league in touchdowns and interceptions. Well, we can ignore the interceptions for a moment. The fact that he would be leading the league in touchdowns, miss two games, but if the Packers, let's say, win the North, could he still win the MVP? I think he could. He's obviously not in the front running right now, only seven games in, but in 10 weeks, when we're through 16 games and entering the final week of the season, he could still be in consideration, right?
But I think he's got to put up some ridiculous numbers. He can't be that high up in the interception ranking when he's going to be going up against Lamar, who's not throwing interceptions right now, throwing a lot of touchdowns, and he's running it a lot too. Like, it's going to be hard for somebody to beat Lamar Jackson, I think, at this point. I really think Josh Allen is the only one that can really do it.
Joshy DiMaggio is a company man. He jumps off the company call to rejoin us now. Joshy, go ahead.
Are you aware that Jordan Love's fifth in MVP odds across the NFL?
I was not aware.
Yeah, it's higher than I'd expect.
Who's, who's above him?
Lamar is leading at plus 225. And then it goes Patrick Mahomes plus 450, Josh Allen plus 500, Jared Goff plus 850.
Really?
Yeah, when you throw
Where's Baker? I mean, losing
way down,
losing Godwin and Evans doesn't help.
Below Hurts, Murray, Purdy, Darnold, Daniels, Burrow, Stroud.
He's below Darnold.
Yeah.
They don't view what Mayfield's doing as sustainable. Interesting. So anyway, to your point.
I think he could have a very high interception total and still win it, because a lot of it's based on how your team does.
Right.
The hottest team right now is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
They're putting up points and they're doing it in like fun, exciting, in prime time also, which is a big factor when all this stuff, like these odds get figured
out. Where is Derrick Henry in the MVP odds?
He is below Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
I don't see him on this list here. He's got to be here somewhere. Oh, no. He is below Baker Mayfield at plus 4,000.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, running backs don't win that award anymore.
Yeah, no.
But
you'd have to, for a running back to have, it would have to be like historic yardage or touchdown season.
And when you're playing in the same team as Lamar, it can be a hard case to make.
Yes, but he does have the best odds right now of all non-quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. He's had a monster season.
Yeah, but if Jordan Love goes undefeated and throws 20 interceptions,
well, Joshy,
from here on out is what I mean.
They're not going undefeated.
Right, but if he would be the MVP favorite.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
That's just how that stuff goes. Success matters a lot.
Oh, it does a ton. I mean, when you think in past years, right?
Remember Brock Purdy was a finalist despite not having really that great of stats?
It's huge. And, you know, I think the Packers will be in consideration for the number one seed in the NFC? I think they'll be close. I don't think they'll get there. But you control your own destiny, obviously. You played the Lions twice yet. That's going to be the team that's probably your toughest competition in that regard. So I am intrigued to see how this shakes out. Man, I'm so fired up. This team is so good. Josh, before you jumped off the company call you were on, I was just reflecting, right? 1 year ago at this time, and we were 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
I was questioning after week 7 whether or not Jordan Love was the dude.
Yeah, I think we all were.
And here we are a year later, just thrilled with the way he's playing, despite leading the league in interceptions. He's so fun to watch.
Yeah, he is pretty unique right now across the NFL, especially with the way things are so condensed and it's just a dump off fest. The NFL has the most amount of rushing yards since 1990, like per team per game.
Yeah,
we've dialed back football like a long time, and Jordan Love is still just slinging the pill all over the road, all over the field,
slinging it. Yeah, look, I wonder if running backs are proving their worth again.
The problem with that is I think that argument has gone away from what its original intent was.
Sure.
This is so damaging on bodies that we can't commit long term to a lot of these guys because there are only a few guys who can withstand it year in and mm-hmm. year out. So like 7th round guys end up mattering a lot in the running back position, more so than they would at any other position. And I think it still stands true that it's a big abuse on the body,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a very extremely important part of the game. But as we've seen, like Jordan Mason's done pretty damn good. There's a lot of UDFAs across the NFL who are making, like Chuba Hubbard was a draft pick, but looks pretty good.
Yeah, sure does.
It's just the level of, I don't want to pay Zeke Elliott $15 million a year because in a year he might blow out his Achilles, and now I'm stuck with 2 years of a very expensive guy who's not able to play.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Now, but Saquon and Derek, I guess, are the two I'm outlining.
Yeah, I mean, those are like the resurgence.
Yeah, they are, both of them, absolute freaks of nature. But the resurgence they've had in their new teams is really interesting in terms of that conversation I remember we were having last offseason about the running back position. I know that Jonathan Taylor was a big part of that, but he's been beat up again.
Yeah.
So it's a good point by you. All right, let's do this. I'm going to tell you about Door County Distillery. We'll get to one word. We'll get to Doc Rivers. We'll get to Buck's expectations all still ahead. I know Josh, he's fired up to hear my conversation with Doc. What's the one thing you wish I asked Doc?
I couldn't dream of a thing to ask Doc right now.
You an NBA guy?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
I'll tune in when big games are happening, big events.
Will you tune in when Doc Rivers appears on Mr. Irrelevant?
I have no choice. I'm contractually obligated.
That's a good point. Good point. Mr. Relevant is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Football season is whiskey season for me. I love the Door County Distillery bourbon. Also love their single malt whiskey. It's won 27 gold medals nationwide. The rye whiskey, pretty darn good as well. But if whiskey's not your thing, brandies, gins, vodkas, including cherry-infused vodkas and brandies from the famous Door County Cherries. All available statewide, all over the state of Wisconsin at your local retailer and online, DoorCountyDistillery.com. You can also find a huge list of unique cocktail recipes online at DoorCountyDistillery.com. We'll step aside for 60 when we come back. One word ahead of NFL Week 8, Doc Rivers joins us, and expectations for the Milwaukee Bucks this upcoming season, as well as wrapping it up as we always do with what we learned. All still ahead in the next half an hour. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strove.
Happy spooky season. What's the best drink this October? My friends at Door County Distillery are going to teach me how to make it.
Fall in a glass. It's the apple butter bourbon fizz from Door County Distillery. All you got to do is scoop apple butter into a cocktail shaker. Take 2.5 ounces of your bourbon, shake that, strain that, and then fill the rest of the cup with ginger beer. And if you like to, which I like to, dash a little cinnamon on top of that. Boom, shakalaka, you've got the apple butter bourbon fizz from Door County Distillery.
Cheers, the apple butter bourbon fizz. I'm not going to say it 5 times fast enough. It's like a apple cider taste to it.
Apple cider vibes, yeah.
That's like corn maize for adults drink, is what that tastes like.
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. So each and every week on Wednesdays, we do this, coming out of the previous week of the NFL and getting ready for the next week to kick off the following day on Thursday Night Football. Hunter comes up with somewhere between, I don't know, 10, a dozen, 15 topics going on in the NFL. I give one word to describe my feelings on them. Now, last week, Joshy banned a litany of words. Litany was not one of the words, but they were interesting, intriguing, cool, awesome. What else am I missing?
Maybe.
Maybe. Sorta.
Wasn't fine. Sexy on there?
Frisky was. Frisky was on there, yeah. Frisky. So no frisky today. All right, let's dive into it. Hunter's got topics. I've got one word. So let's get into one word ahead of week 8 in the NFL.
All right. DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Retry.
Hassan Reddick passed his physical with the New York Jets.
Congratulations.
This quote from Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Derrick Henry is having a career year. I don't think if he'd be having a career year in our situation. We don't run that type of offense at all. Derrick didn't fit principally due to managing the cap.
What?
Bears at Commanders, Sunday, 3:25.
That moron would have fit.
Moron would fit. Well, that didn't even make any sense.
Oh, no, that's just because Jerry's geriatric.
Jerry is geriatric.
Geriatric. Yeah, yeah. Another
he said he doesn't fit, but then he blames it on the cap. It's Derrick freaking Henry.
Yep.
You it doesn't matter it what fit. Your offense is. Derrick Henry is your offense.
Yep.
Have you seen what Baltimore... Oh, my God. Hunter, I feel so damn bad for you, man.
It's
how do
tough.
You do this?
I like it.
How do you do this?
Dude,
I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and it pisses me off.
It's really difficult. Now you understand the
Did
video.
Did you see the new story?
No, we're moving on. Bears at Commanders, Sunday, 3:25.
Offense.
Baltimore Ravens, 41. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 31. Monday Night Football.
I'm trying to figure out how to fit this into one word. Correct. I was right. I told you there was going to be points. It wasn't as sexy as I thought it would be, but a lot of points. I told you there would be.
Miami Dolphins are in second place in their division at 2-4.
Puke.
Come back.
Come on, Tua.
Cooper Kupp potentially on the trading block.
False. I don't buy it.
No?
Wait, what?
What? What do you mean, Josh?
You're telling me you don't believe the reporting of Adam Schefter.
I don't think the Rams will trade Cooper Kupp, is what I'm saying.
He addressed it, and it was pretty awkward. The old boy thinks he's getting traded.
What do you mean he addressed it, and it was pretty awkward? On Jen Gavin Chewy?
No. Cooper Kupp, when asked about him being traded, he said, I'm aware of it. I'm going to focus on being the best Ram possible.
Right, he's going to be a Ram, so it's good. He should focus on being the best Ram possible. All right, Hunter, go ahead.
San Francisco 49ers injuries. McCaffrey, Achilles stuff. Deebo Samuel has pneumonia. Brandon Ayuk, torn ACL.
Is that an injury? Pneumonia an injury?
He's in the hospital, so I'm going to count it on their injured list, considering he shows up on there.
I guess his lungs are hurting, that is an injury.
Yeah. Have you had pneumonia? I'd count it as
several
an injury.
Times, yes. Yeah, not fun. So am I just giving one word on the 49ers having injuries?
Yeah, all their injuries, the 49ers. It's kind of an open-ended thing. You go where you want to go, dude.
Ouch.
There's no teams with a bye this week.
Ouch.
And finally... Daniel Jones was benched against the Eagles, but he's expected to still start against the Steelers.
This is strictly for the first half of that one. Ouch! But overall, being named the starter again, 40. The number is 40. This is $40 million, you get it?
Yeah,
Josh. He's a bargain now, honestly.
No, Daniel Jones is not a bargain. He is a stinky, stinky boy.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of problems there.
Yeah, they do. They do. You know, I think he gets a bad rap, though. Can I say it? I'm going to say it. I think Daniel Jones gets a bad rap.
I think he's going to pull a Baker and go somewhere else and like be a solid quarterback for a while. And it's going to make the Giants look even worse.
See, that's exactly where my head was, Hunter. Well the said. Is, good minds think alike.
His, like, I mean, he just is so inaccurate.
But look at the quarterbacks in the league right now that are starting, you know, not on their first team, that have had this great resurgence, right? Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Derek Carr to a point. You can go elsewhere and be successful.
There's
the Giants have failed Daniel Jones more than Jones has failed the Giants. Yeah.
There's one big difference, though. All those quarterbacks were good at some point in their career. And for Daniel Jones, you have to go back to high school.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like he
was pretty good at Duke.
I was going to say, he was good at Duke. He was... Stop it, Josh.
He was pretty good at Duke.
He was good at Duke.
He was mostly fine.
Well, I'm gonna have a humble brag here, so make fun of me as much as you want. So, back in the summer of 2019, I went down to North Carolina, and I interviewed David Shumate, who is the football and basketball play-by-play guy for Duke. I interviewed him in the Duke football press box, and we talked quite a bit about Daniel Jones and what he's doing for that program and the energy he's brought Duke. And they loved him down there. He was a hero because Duke had typically been pretty darn bad at football until he became the quarterback. And ultimately, they were pretty good that year. So, anyway. All right.
Cool.
There we go. I was waiting for it. That is one word ahead of NFL Week 8. Now, Josh, he says he's not an NBA guy. We all know I am the NBA guy. Mm. And Hunter likes to pretend he is a NBA guy. The NBA tipped off last night. Doubleheader. The Lakers topped the Timberwolves. The Celtics topped the Knicks. Some fun matchups, but neither of them very close. Fun games, though. Obviously, the history of LeBron and Bronny checking in together in the second quarter of last night's game. 29 threes from the Celtics as they begin their title defense, which ties an NBA record. NBA is not only here, it is fully here, and you've got the rest of the teams playing tonight, tipping off their season, including the Milwaukee Bucks, who will head to Philadelphia and take on the 76ers. Doc Rivers, of course, the former head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, entering year one, well, year two, but full year one of the head as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Got a full offseason, gets to start the season with them rather than being pulled in January. Doc Rivers is the man in charge for the Milwaukee Bucks. Had the opportunity to catch up with him a few weeks ago. Doc Rivers entering his first full year as the head coach as the Milwaukee Bucks. Joins me now right here on Mr. Irrelevant.
All right, here with Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. Doc, first full offseason after what was an interesting year last year, right? Yeah. Coming in midseason, 2 weeks later, you're the all-star head coach. You get a full offseason. How important has that been for you and the connectedness to this roster?
Oh, I think it's been vital. You know, first of all, I can create my own staff, which is important. I think having the guys that you want around you matters because you do so many different things with the guys. And then, secondly, being able to work with the guys, being able to build the rest of the roster out to the way you think it'll fit has been fantastic.
How about some of these offseason additions? Three free agent additions, obviously the two rookies.
Yeah.
What was your process in building out the remainder of this roster?
Well, the process was going after the guys we thought we can get, and what we did was I think we got guys that we thought were even a far reach for us to get, and that's what made our whole summer, to be honest. When you look at what we had to offer, minimum contracts, and we signed the guys that we signed, and none of them are minimum contract players. That speaks volumes.
Let's go one by one on them. What does Taurean Prince bring to the Milwaukee Bucks?
Toughness, defensive player, great shooter, big game player.
What does Gary Trent Jr. bring to the Milwaukee Bucks?
Toughness. An elite shooter. Like, honestly, an elite shooter can make it off the bounce, can spot up shoot, very competitive, has made big shots, and another guy that can defend.
And when I ask you about DeLon Wright, I imagine you're going to say the word toughness?
Toughness, yes, for sure. And, you know, with DeLon, too, is just his competitiveness. You know, he does everything good, and he's a vet that has been through all the ringers, so it'd be great for us.
I imagine it's hard to reflect because you're in go-go-go mode right now, but what was last season like for you, man? It was a total whirlwind.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, it was tough because I had no plans on doing it. You know, I always wonder, like, if I was, you know, in the off-season and even during the season when I wasn't coaching, if I thought, man, I'm going to get back in this soon, my mindset would have been different. But this came out of nowhere. I had no plans on coaching last year, and I told everyone that I would. Even when they called, I said, I have no plans on coaching. And then a week later, I'm here. So it was difficult, but at the end of the day, it's another experience that you can use from.
Another guy I know you talked about earlier was the point guard, Damian Lillard. He's entering year two here in Milwaukee, and you talked about the importance of him being a leader on this team. How have you worked with him to make sure you're emphasizing and maximizing that potential of his game?
Well, the only way you can be a leader is that you have to be comfortable, you know, and when you're comfortable, the leadership stuff falls out. And so I think now he's comfortable. He looks as this as home now. He's relaxed. He knows what we all expect, and he knows what we're going to do to try to get it all out of him. So I think this will be an easy year in that part for him.
I know a bunch of your guys went out to Greece to support Giannis. They had a team trip. They worked out together. Yeah. I imagine as a head coach, that's making you smile. That's a good thing that your guys did this offseason.
Yeah, and everyone's got willingness to do it. You know, trying to find guys in the summer is sometimes hard. This summer was easy. They went to Greece. They went to Portland. They went to Phoenix. They traveled a lot as a team. And the more together, the better we are.
Giannis obviously playing in the Olympics, you said earlier. Big sigh of relief once he's done and he's healthy. But what's that experience like for guys? You've coached a bunch of Olympians in your time.
It's amazing. You know, I think they all come back with it with something positive, you know, something they've learned. You can never stop learning in this game. Playing in a competition, you know, playing for your country. I mean, a lot of that stuff matters, and I think it's good.
The last thing for you, Doc, is being back in Milwaukee. You've been here about 9 months now. What's it been like for you to get back to where you played your college ball and really embrace this community?
Oh, it's been great. It took a minute, you know, to get comfortable. But it's been this summer even better. Just reconnecting with so many friends, so many mentors. I had so many guys when I was in college that mentored me, and they're still here. And reconnecting with all of them has been fantastic.
That's fantastic. Are you still getting out and running a little bit with these guys? You still shooting? The shots still work?
Yeah, a standstill shot. That's about it.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
That was great. Thanks.
There you go. It's head coach Doc Rivers of the Milwaukee Bucks entering his first full season as the head coach of the team. Second season overall. Look, Bucks always have championship expectations when there's a guy by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo on their roster. You can't have anything short of championship expectations, even as the Eastern Conference continues to evolve and you look at teams getting better, right? Boston just won the title. The New York Knicks are immensely improved with some of the offseason acquisitions and Jalen Brunson, one of the best players in the entire league. Philadelphia allegedly got better, but when you look at what they're doing on opening night, and Josh, you just pointed this out to me in the break.
Why the hell isn't Joel Embiid playing?
Neither is Paul George.
Wasn't he in the Olympics?
Which one? Embiid? I believe so. He didn't play much.
So what happened between now and then?
I don't know. But him and Paul George, who were like two of the biggest kings of load management outside of Kawhi Leonard, are now on the same team. And obviously Paul George was with Kawhi Leonard. You have to play 65 games in the NBA to be considered postseason awards.
They tried to blame the postseason awards thing on why Joel Embiid got hurt.
Yes.
When it's like inhumane to ask those guys to go to work.
Why are they not playing the opener? That's the part I don't get. Are they actually dealing with something? I haven't read into this, so I don't know. But that seems really odd to me. Chris Middleton won't play tonight either, but we know he's dealing with something, right? He had an off-season procedure. He told me a couple weeks ago he's feeling good. He hopes to be back, you know, as soon as possible, but they're probably being cautious with Middleton, but no George or Embiid to start the season. It's a Tyrese Maxey show in Philadelphia.
Hear me out on something.
Yeah.
The two highest paid, or let's say the two best players as determined by the NBA per team, they don't play every fan's tickets 10% off.
Ooh, more than that. For a home game?
Yes. Like, if you bought tickets to go see
the season opener,
the season opener, and your guys are load managing the first game of the season?
Free.
Like, there needs to be something changed in the NBA. It's a crazy... Shorten the season on games and extend the duration of it. I don't know, man. I want to watch the guys play.
Well, they're never going to lessen the number of games. They've got to extend the season by like a month at this point.
Yeah,
and then get rid of the back-to-backs.
That's fine with me.
Like, they have to, because like it's ridiculous how much they're doing this. And then, like you said, Josh, like the Sixers tried to gaslight the entire world into saying that it's the awards' fault. Like, no, your guys just made a glass.
Like, load management in game one is nuts to me. Joel Embiid and Paul George. So according to Shams Charania, which this was tweeted yesterday, Embiid is progressing well and ramping up. So clearly he's dealing with something. Scrimmaging this week. He will not play this week. George will be reevaluated later in the week. What's he dealing with now?
Being Paul George? I don't know.
Man, I get the Sixers got better, right? Because at the end of the day, Paul George is a very good basketball player. Very fun to watch when he's healthy. Joel Embiid, one of the best in the league when he's on the floor. But the Sixers can't rely on them to be on the floor. How do they expect to trust the process and win a title if you can't trust that they're going to be on the floor? And I know that's rich coming from Milwaukee, right? A team that hasn't been able to stay healthy in the postseason since they won the title. And they weren't even healthy that postseason. But at least you can expect Giannis to be out there if he's able to. Joel Embiid and Paul George aren't playing the season opener. All right. Bucks are going to win the championship this year. I feel good about it. This is the year they all stay healthy. Dame's gonna mesh in well. He's going to be comfortable. Everybody, you know, over the course of the last few weeks has talked about how his leadership has evolved and he's more comfortable. Bucks are winning the title.
You know,
or at least they'll be there.
You know, going from our conversation here about the load management stuff, this might be one of the deeper Bucks teams that we've had in a while, given the guys that they brought in. Like, once Middleton, like, he doesn't need to rush himself back, I don't think, which is big. So, like, I feel good about this team, unless there's just something crazy that goes on late in the year with injuries. Like, I feel good about who they should have going out there for playoff games and being able to still keep up with a young team like the Pacers, because you're going to see them again. Like, I just know they are.
You just heard Doc talk about it, right? You know, all three of those guys, their offseason pickups in Torian Prince, Gary Trent Jr., and DeLon Wright had offers other places for more money, but still chose Milwaukee because they want to win a title. And that provides you some depth. Now, that doesn't provide you the youth you're mentioning that Indiana had so well in that first round series against them last year, but you have more depth. And I think you have a little bit more reliability, right? Like, you feel really good about Torian Prince. You feel really good about Gary Trent Jr. and some of the things he'll provide offensively in that backcourt. So all in all, you like the depth, yes. But also, if this team is healthy, that means they can go 8-9 deep and you feel really good about everybody on the floor. And that might not even include guys like Pat Connaughton or AJ Green, or Marjon Beauchamp. You know, so I'm intrigued to see what the lineup and the rotations look like for Doc tonight, since they'll pretty much have everybody except Chris Middleton. But yeah, this is a team that should gun for, I don't know, 60 wins and be a top seed in the East, and you know, the chips will fall where they may. The NBA is so fluid at the end of the season because you play a long season. You're dealing with injuries all over the place. The Bucks have been a proponent of that the last few years. I'm really intrigued to see, if they stay healthy, what stops them from winning the title?
Let's cut the crap here.
Let's cut the crap.
Cutting the crap. Bucks are old.
Yeah.
Maybe the oldest roster.
Got to be up there.
Yeah.
What's our worry meter at that Giannis ends up asking out if this doesn't go the right way?
It should be high. You know, I think
I've been very low the previous, 6 years that we've talked about this. But this
is the first time it feels real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a story that spins every year, right? I remember last year he mentioned something about wanting to play in Chicago maybe at some point. It's never a real story. I think this time around it is, but it's something you don't have to worry about until after the season. If the Bucks go out and win the NBA title, he's not going anywhere, right? He's in the first year of his new deal. So the worry meter is still not very high. Out of 10, it's maybe a 3 or 4. I mean, it's higher than it's ever been, though.
I'm at 50-50.
You're at 5 out of 10?
Yeah, I think this could go either way depending on the course of the season.
See,
I don't think Giannis has any interest in any sort of rebuild, and if that's what's required.
Hold on, real quick. Not breaking news, but breaking news we're going to call breaking news. This quote was just released from Giannis. I'm the best player in the NBA. I need to know if this is shade or no shade of Jason Tatum. Ready? Okay. Giannis asked who the best player in the NBA is. Quote, I feel like the best player is the guy that wins a championship, wins it all, and is the best player for his team. So the best player in the NBA is Jaylen Brown. That from The Athletic. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Shade or no shade of Jason Tatum?
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Giannis is a smart guy. Yeah. That was intentional. I was going to say, as long as this team, I think if they go Eastern Conference Finals, say, and they lose, I think Giannis comes back. But it's got to be Eastern Conference Finals is the floor for him coming back. Anything else, then I'm pushing up to a 6, 7, 8.
What if we're talking a 7-game series in the divisional round against the Celtics that they lose?
You mean the Eastern Conference semis, Mr. NBA guy?
What did I say?
Divisional round? NBA guy?
It's October, man. Give me a break.
Ridiculous. But to answer your question, I think he's still out. He's got to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Josh, do you know the NBA guy thing we're referring to?
Yeah, isn't it just because you deemed yourself an NBA guy after being an interloper and trying to like learn the Bucks like last year?
Sending it to Hunter right now. We have a video of it. Hunter, I just emailed it to you. If you can get that up and let us know when you're ready. So last year during the All-Star, or right before the All-Star break, I think it was the weekend in the NBA where there was no NFL. It was the week between the Super Bowl and the championship games. So I spent the whole weekend watching, like, I watched like 7 NBA games. And I came to work that Monday, and I'm like, yeah, dude, you know, I know everything. I crunched the film. I know who's good. I know who's not good. This is when I really got into. Who were the teams I really got into at that point? Oklahoma City, who was a really fun team last year and will be again this year. Minnesota, Ann Edwards, amazing. That was when I got on the Anthony Edwards train. There was one other team. I don't remember who it was, though. But it might have been the Pacers, ironically enough. And I was fascinated by it and fascinated by the NBA. And that's when I dove in at first, because it was shortly after the Adrian Griffin firing.
Yeah.
And then obviously we geared up for the All-Star break and then ultimately the playoffs. So yeah, I think of an NBA guy. I love the NBA. I always have. I did just call them the divisional round. I meant the semifinals, conference semifinals. Josh, you're giving me a look. What?
Just because you're so clearly not an NBA guy.
No, but I am an NBA guy.
No, you think it's one of those things where you want to be a part of that crew, but you know you're not in it, so you're just going to try and by force of will.
Oh, no, I'm in it. I'm in it. Hunter, do you have our video?
It is taking much longer than I expected. According to the computer, it says about 20 seconds. So give me about 30 and I'll have it ready.
All right, fantastic, fantastic. Joshy, give us 30 seconds on Underdog. What do we like for anything on the Bucks opener? You an NBA guy, or are you not flirting around with the NBA on Underdog?
I have before, but those are more blind squirrel type of stuff.
Sure.
I'm sure there's some. I did see, and I thought it was kind of funny, maybe a little rude, that they had put in a Bronny James over or under, like, one basket made. Higher or lower, excuse me, and I think it was a 0.5. So did he make a shot or not, as we all saw after the fact? That was a no. He did not, in fact, make a shot.
He did not, in fact, make a shot.
We've got the video.
That is accurate. All right, let's listen to Alex Strofe, NBA guy, about a year ago.
Still good. Right. What can I do for you?
People are saying you're not an NBA guy.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Oh. I don't know what else to ask.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, I watched 5 NBA games this weekend. That makes me an NBA guy, more so than anybody else in this office. You think anybody else watched 5 NBA games? I don't think so. You think Ryan Wollersheim watched 5 NBA games this weekend? No. So why would we trust his opinion over a guy that actually crunched the film?
What about Hunter Vaughn? Is he an NBA guy?
He's a fraud. Yeah, no, he's more of a college hoops guy, which is fine. Like, I am too. I'm a man of many talents, so I do both.
Hunter also said you're kind of a college hoops guy. Noted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Mm. Anything else you want to say to your haters?
No, just show me some respect, you know? I think I've earned it. There's no more effect. I don't like that. There's no more respectable opinion on the NBA than mine. Personally, at least.
It's accurate. So.
Wonderful.
What are we doing here?
That is... It's raw, unedited footage from when I was interviewed as an NBA guy.
Do you guys realize you could have made that, like, an extremely funny video if you would have just written lines?
Well, I didn't know we were shooting a video.
The video that was posted was one that then has Ryan and I both go in there and just start ranting about how much of a fraud Alex Strofe is and how it's ridiculous that he thinks he needs to call himself an NBA guy.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen that video.
It was as if you guys had believed you could create the brilliance of Jim talking into the camera if you just sat down and did it.
I was asked to come into an office and sit down, and I did, and that you just saw the product. So that's all I know.
You're a fraud.
So Josh, are you sold? I'm an NBA guy?
No. I'll never come to you for any of my underdog NBA pick-ems, that's for sure.
I've got a few on underdog tonight, so I'm going to run through them. Take them with a grain of salt. It's just a two-pick entry on the underdog app, underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign-up. GOODKARMA. Good karma at sign-up, all one word. You get up to $1,000 deposit match. You get a free pick in your pick-em entry. And you get to win some money. You get to watch along. Elevate your game-watching experience. For the Bucks game tonight, I've just got two picks. I've got Damian Lillard higher than 24.5 points. I've got Tyrese Maxey higher than 40 points, rebounds, assists. So 24.5 higher for Dame. 40.0 points, rebounds, assists for Tyrese Maxey of the 76ers. That wins you three times your investment. So $10 wins you 30 on the underdog app, underdogfantasy.com, using promo code GOODKARMA at sign up.
NBA guys call that PRA.
Tyrese Maxey higher than 40 PRA on the underdog app, underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up. Ron and the key texts in on the ESPN Wisconsin talking text line. Strofe is such a brust.
Yeah, uh-huh. Brust is the interloper. The, hey, I saw this thing one time, and now I am the foremost source on all things.
I still am on the NBA, and I don't think anybody can argue with that. All right, time now for What We Learned. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time for What We Learned on Mr. Relevant. We go to the Everlight Solar Studio. Hunter Vaughn, you're leading us off today.
This is from our conversation earlier about, like, potential playoff teams and the top five teams. ESPN has the percentage chance of teams getting into the playoffs, and this is the top teams in the NFC that I have on the screen here. You have the Lions at 93%, Vikings 78%, Packers 77%, and then we work our way down to the Bears at 40%. So they are number 9 in the NFC for playoff chance. So ESPN likes the chance of there being 4 teams from one division getting in.
Wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
I want it. I think I want it. Joshy, do you want it as a Packers fan?
Want what?
Thanks for paying attention.
Thank you for listening to me, you jerk.
No, I don't want that. That means good things for the rivals. Of course not.
Do I want what? Well, what I learned is, according to Bryce on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, I'm lame. She says Alex Strofe is lame.
Second that.
Yep.
That does it for us today. We'll be back with you Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, YouTube, ESPN Madison. On YouTube, ESPN Madison. On Facebook, NBA Guy. Colin Russo will join us. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN West Palm on Friday. Known Jaguars fan. He will join us to preview Green Bay, Jacksonville. We're bringing back one more Colin Russo Friday on Mr. Irrelevant. Colin Russo will join us on Friday. Joshy, Hunter, and myself will be back with you. Even Bryce on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel might be back with you. Alex Strope is lame. Yeah, we already knew that. Tell me something I don't know. We'll talk to you Friday. Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. And sign up on Underdog using promo code GoodKarma. Peace.